from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. A federal grand jury returned a four-count indictment against a 32-year-old hunter for starting the Rim Fire, the largest fire in recorded history in the Sierra Nevada. According to prosecutors, Keith Matthew Emerald was rescued by helicopter from an extremely remote area of the Stanislaus National Forest near the origin of the Rim Fire about an hour after it was reported. Emerald was carrying bow hunting equipment with him and told authorities he was on a solo trip, but denied starting a fire. Emerald is due next in a federal court in Fresno. If convicted, he faces a maximum 5 years in prison. Six safety net hospitals in the state, owned by the nonprofit Daughters of Charity Health System, are up for sale. But there's controversy over one of the bidders, and hospital unions are stepping forward to voice their concerns. The California Report's health reporter April Domboski explains.
The mission of Daughters of Charity is to take care of the poor and needy. CEO Robert Isai says that three-quarters of the patients are covered by government health programs, which pay significantly less than private insurers.
We always had that 25% of commercial business to make ends meet.
But a lot of that dried up when the recession hit in 2008. People lost their jobs and their insurance. Then the government cut back too, slashing reimbursement rates.
End result is 2014 now. We are in a situation that we cannot sustain this operation going forward.
Daughters decided its only option was to sell its six hospitals, four in the Bay Area and two in Los Angeles. Isai says he has two or three solid bidders, but he doesn't want to rush into a deal.
The goal is to get the best buyer.
That hasn't stopped the health workers union from voicing its opposition to one of the potential buyers, Prime Healthcare. SEIU's David Miller says Prime told the union that if it won the bid, it planned to put the hospitals through bankruptcy.
We view a bankruptcy in this situation as catastrophic.
That's because employees' pensions would be on the chopping block.
People may lose 50 to 70% of their accrued benefit unexpectedly.
Prime Healthcare declined to comment. Health economist Ben Umansky says sales like this one have grown more common as hospitals across the country face similar economic pressures and demographic shifts.
The simple fact that the country is getting older and you're going to have 10 million more Medicare beneficiaries by 2020 than you have today, that is a threat to hospital finances.
There is hope that the Affordable Care Act will ease some of these pressures, but Umansky says it could be years before hospitals see tangible financial benefits. For the California Report, I'm April Domboski.
Election watchers call it the doomsday scenario, a nail-biter of a statewide election with a recount process so antiquated the whole thing ends up in court. That was the fear last month when a recount began in the race for state controller. It did not end up in court, but it did spark an effort to rewrite the law. John Myers has more from KQED's California Politics and Government desk.
No one had ever seen a statewide race in California that hinged on just 481 votes. That's about 0.01% of the votes cast in June in the race for state controller. But then the shocker, the law says no official recount unless a candidate pays for it. And even more shocking, the losing candidate was allowed to pick and choose which votes to recount, searching for just enough error to possibly reverse the official tally.
That really opened my eyes to how undemocratic, really, our process is and how potentially chaotic.
Democrat Kevin Mullen, an assemblymember from South San Francisco, says at least part of the solution is simple. In a razor-thin close election, there should be an automatic recount of every vote cast in California.
My hope is that we can join the 20 other states that have an automatic recount in the law.
Mullen's new bill would trigger an automatic recount of votes in any statewide election where the margin is less than 0.1% of the votes cast for the candidates whose fate is in limbo. That would be a little more than double the vote margin between Democrats Betty Yee and John Perez in the controller's race. Yee and Republican Ashley Swearingen will now face off in November. Perez came in third and abandoned his recount effort after only a few days. The question for elections officials across California doesn't seem to be whether to have an automatic recount law, but what the margin of votes, the recount trigger, should be.
It's important that the thresholds that are put in place acknowledge the fact that we do a pretty good job of counting ballots.
Karen Ray is the elections chief in Kern County, one of the counties where votes were recounted in the brief saga over the controller's race this summer. After some 35,000 votes were counted a second time, Kern County's tally for Betty Yee and John Perez changed by only 2 votes. But that was in a multi-candidate race. In general elections, there are now only 2 candidates on the ballot, and the proposed law could spark unnecessary recounts, says Kern County's Karen Ray.
The 2012 election had 13.2 million voters, so that would have been 13,200 votes, would have triggered a recount. It's not likely that a change would occur on that scale.
An initial analysis estimates a statewide recount of votes by hand could cost almost $2 million. Counties want to make sure the state pays that tab. The legislature has only a month left to pass bills, and Assemblymember Kevin Mullen says they can't wait until 2015.
I want to force this conversation. I want to get ahead of the November general election just in case we have the outcome of one of these constitutional offices hanging in the balance.
For the California Report, I'm John Myers in Sacramento.
And finally, one of the most notorious wine counterfeiters in recent history has been sentenced to 10 years in prison for duping high-end collectors with respectable but fraudulently labeled home blends. Rudy Kernioan became famous for buying and selling bottles from some of the world's great vintages. So many great vintages, it finally raised suspicions. In 2012, a raid on his Arcadia home turned up thousands of empty bottles, corks, fake labels, and sealing wax. Kernioan's been in prison ever since. In addition to the 10 years, Kernioan was ordered to forfeit $20 million and to pay more than $28 million to his victims. The case was tried in New York, but the judge agreed to let Kernioan serve his time in Southern California so he can be close to his mother. And that's the California Report for Friday, August 8th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Danny Bringer and Jim Bennett, with additional engineering by Seal Muller and Howard Gelman. Our interns are Nancy DeVille and Angela Rowell. The director was Guy Maserati. Sarah Bond was a director and producer. Our series on assisted living care in California was produced and edited by Polly Stryker. The editors this week were Victoria Malione, Tyke Hendricks, Alex Helmick, John Myers, and Craig Miller. Nina Thorson is our producer. The senior producer is Ingrid Becker. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Endowment, making health happen by working to increase access to health coverage and care for everyone, regardless of immigration status. Learn more at calendow.org. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as email archiving for compliance and litigation readiness. Barracuda.com.